Even as I'm preaching today, I was just thinking about news, the platform which Pastor Gabe has been sharing the good news of the gospel with us. And so I just want to ask to observe just a 1 minute silent for the life of Pastor Gabe and what God did through his life. So if church, if you can stand up, and observe a 1 minute silent for him. So may his soul continue to abode with our Heavenly Father in all glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to share with you on a sermon. We have already started a series on having effective work with God. And we've talked about who God is. And we've also spoken about Jesus, who is the express image of the invisible God. Today we are going to share on how do we walk with God. The man who would truly know God must give time to him. A.W. Tozer. So if you are going to know God, like all other relationships, it requires that we spend time with the Lord. Okay, so today we'll be studying about walking with the Lord. And we'll be studying from Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are told about several people who had a walk with the Lord. And their walk was a walk of faith. So many of them have been mentioned. Their stories are in the Bible, but in Hebrews chapter 11, the authors specify on their walk of faith. So we want to look at how these men walk with the Lord. What are the principles by which, as a result, they were commended of God? But before that, in Romans 15:4, the scripture says that for whatever was written in earlier times was written for instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So when we read the scriptures gives us instructions, and we persevere and we are encouraged so that we might have hope. Hope is a fuel for living, and more so in Christ, our blessed joy in God. But yet hope must have a substance. So when you come to Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and by which the elders of the old obtain recommendation. And he said, without faith, and said, by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that things that are seen were framed from things that were not seen. So faith is what gives substance to our hope. But before we begin with Hebrews 11, I want us to look at the author's intention of the book. Because the author begins with now faith. It means that he has been talking about so many things already. So what is in the mind of the author such that he began to give us a lot of picture about Old Testament people and their life, how they walk with God? So when you look at the overview of the book, It was written to Jews under gruesome persecution and imprisonment. So we read from the chapter 10, 32 to 34, we find out that these people were are in prison, they have their things were confiscated, though they embrace all with joy. So they have been under persecution. So that is a picture we see. The author is writing to people who are under persecution. And the very purpose of the book is to elevate Jesus as superior to anyone or anything. And the reason is that he is telling us to put our trust in Jesus. And how does the author do this? He does comparison and contrasting of Jesus with a lot of Old Testament people and also symbols. So in 1 to 2, he compared Jesus with angels, pointing toward that Jesus is superior. In the 3 and 4, we see comparison and contrasting with Moses and the promised land. He made us understand Jesus is more faithful. He was a son, whilst Moses was a servant. In the 5 to 7, he gives a comparison with priests, and he tells us that Jesus Christ has a certain priesthood, which is of order of Melchizedek. And his priesthood is that he is both priest and king. He need not to be like the Old Testament priests who have to also pacify for their sin. They make sacrifice for their sin. But Jesus need not, because yet he was without sin. And because of that, he's a better high priest for us. Then he also made comparison with Jesus and sacrifice and the covenant, telling us that we don't need all this sacrifice and covenant again. That Jesus has been sacrificed once and for all for us. And he has ushered us into a new covenant of his blood. Therefore, the old is obsolete. And when it comes to the 11, then he's giving us exhortation with the exemplary life of people who walk with God faithfully. And that's how come we come to the chapter 11. And the reason why he's doing that is that to challenge these persecuted Jewish believers to continue in their faithful resolve to follow Jesus Christ. So let's get into Hebrews 11. So the author begins, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report." What can we learn from here? A commended faith is one persuaded of the faithfulness of God and his promise. Faith is the substance of things we hope for. In Christ, our hope is on the promises of God. But then we realize that when God gives promises, actually he backs those promises with himself, his very nature. And that's why with faith, we can have a substance, we can have an assurance of what we hope for in Christ. So it is faith that gives that assurance of all that we hope for. And our hope is in the promises of God. And the reason why we can have an assurance in what God has said or promised us is because of the nature of God. In Numbers 23, 18, 20, Balaam said that God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he promised and will he not fulfill? So he told them that I cannot curse people God has blessed. If God has blessed the Israelites, they are blessed. So we know that God's character is immutable. It is unchanging. It is true. And that's why we can have substance. We can have assurance on everything God promises us. What can we also learn? Say, commended faith is demonstrated to the eye of the soul, the reality of things that cannot be determined or discerned by the body of the eye. Faith need not to always see things from the physical perspective before it believes. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, Scripture said that the righteous shall live by faith. He said that the righteous live by faith and not by sight. You know, in John 20, 29, Jesus has revealed himself to the apostles, but Thomas has not seen him. So Thomas was doubting. If indeed Jesus has appeared to them, he wants to see Jesus. He wants to see all the nails that were on his palm. Of course, Jesus showed himself to him, but Jesus said something. He said, Blessed are those who have not seen, but have believed. Faith believes before it manifests in the physical. And that is what the author is going to tell us. When you look at the life of all these people, they have a promises of God. And they believe in these promises, even though most of them did not even have a physical evidence of it. If you are going to walk with God in faith, we have to believe God for who he is and what he has said, even when we don't have physical evidence. And the way we do that is that God always gives us a conviction in our hearts. When we read the word of God, we have a conviction in our hearts. And that conviction enables us to believe what God has said, even though when we don't have physical evidence. So the Christian life is designed to live by faith, not by sight. Contrary to what science will tell us, that we have to observe, experiment, and see for you to believe. But if you are going to walk with God, most of the times we have to believe God before even things will manifest. And that's what we see in the life of the people. And let's move on. So the author begins to tell us people in the Old Testament whose life were recommended of their faith. And he begins with Abel. He said, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it being there still speak. You know, after the fall of man, God in his own mercy still made a provision for man to worship God. So Abel and his brother Cain went to God to worship. But we read from the Genesis 4 that Abel was a man of the land. So he went to God in worship with the first fruit of the land, which of the flock, the first fruit of the field, which was what? His flock. And he together went with what? The animal, mostly in the Old Testament, they have this fat of the animal, which is burnt as a burnt offering. And that was an offering of what? Atonement. So even before the law came, we saw that Abel went to God with a sacrifice, and his sacrifice represents an atonement of sin. So he went to God under the mercy of God for sin. But we also realize that Cain also went to God. And when Cain went to God with what? A thanksgiving offering. He went to God with the first fruit of what? Of the things from his field. But one of the things we realize here is that God commended the faith of Abel, but God rejected that of Cain. And why was it so? The writer tells us it was because of faith. So we learn that a commended faith is one that places value on offering or sacrifice of worship to God. You see, Cain was righteous because he had a sincere heart. And the offering that he presented to God was an offering that was acceptable unto God. In the same way, when we come to God, God expects all our service, our worship, to be acceptable before him. And that's why in Romans 12 verse 1, he says that, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Now, when we come to worship, we don't come with the animals or things from the field, but we come with our body. And God expects us that we ourselves will be holy and acceptable unto him. If our worship or service will please God, it must be offered in the sincerity of our heart. The voice of Abel is a voice that is telling us that in all our worship, in all our service, let it be done from the sincerity of our heart. We can do so many things for God, but it's only out of the sincerity of our heart, only when it's born out of faith, that is commendable to God. So an act of worship or service acceptable to God that produces enduring works are one done under the power of faith. When Cain went to God with a sincere heart, Now he's still speaking to us of those who come to God with the sincerity of their heart. Then the author is still admonishing the Christian believers under persecution. Then he goes on and he said, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God seeks to bestow honor unto men who through faith will please him in this sinful world. We saw that Enoch, Father Methuselah, at the age of 65, and after the age of 300 years, he walked with the Lord. He also fathered many sons and daughters. So Enoch lived like us. He had children. He had a family. He was a father. He was a parent. But yet, he pleased God. It tells us that even in this sinful world, we can still live a life that can be commended by God. It doesn't matter how the world has become evil. There's still people that can walk with God and please them. And God requires such men. Commended faith believes God for who he is and what he says he will do. When it comes to about faith, we believe what God has said. And more important, because that God is dependable. And that's what we learn from the life of Enoch. Then the writer goes on again. And he said, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. God told Noah that he's going to destroy the whole world because men were sinning against God. Aside all God's goodness, men were still sinning against God. So the judgment of God was coming upon men. But yet still, God found a man who was righteous. Tells me that even no matter how sin abounds in this world, God still has righteous people. There are still people who can walk uprightly with God. But what made Noah be commended of his faith? He says that when he was divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. No one ever saw any flood happening in the world, but it was what? A godly reverence for God that moved him. I'm sure most of his people at the time thought that this man probably was going crazy. How can you tell us that God is going to destroy the whole world? You know, sometimes the things that God will ask us to do may sound foolishness before men. Sometimes he calls us into things that, in the opinions of men, it looks not realistic. But yet, faith doesn't count on the opinions of men. Faith is built on the word of God. If God has said, even if all men will give a different opinion of it, we can still trust in the word of God. Noah obeyed God, and because of that, he condemned the world. Obedience born out of godly fear, regardless of the opinion of men, is a faith that releases the power of God in both judgment and salvation. Noah was saved because of godly fear. But the people at that time, they were all condemned to judgment. In the same godly fear that draws men unto God, in the same that godly fear by which men shall be judged. Today, men do not fear God anymore. Godly fear is something that is dwindling in our society. But you see, when Joseph was tempted before Potiphar's wife, he said something. He said, how can I do such thing against God? The question is, where was God? A Hebrew boy living in a pagan land, where was God? It was a fear of God. Many a times, the temptation before we decide not to even, you know, yield to it might not be because of the fear of God. Sometimes because of fear, we'll be caught. But let it be because of the fear of God by which we do all things. And it continues. So So the writer continues, and it comes to the faith of Abraham. Sorry about that. And he said, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he will receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, Abraham went to God. God told Abraham, go. God didn't even tell Abraham where he was sending him. But he still obeyed God. Abraham approached God with a responsive obedience. And that is what God required from us. And that is how faith is being commended. A commended faith is the one that responds to God. Even when we have so many options or we have so many questions. We also saw that he had a persistent trust. He and the children, they were in Canaan. They were walking about. They were living in so many places. He said they were dwelling in tents and with Isaac and Jacob. Though they were here of the promise, they still persisted and trusted in God. Sometimes when God calls us, everything might not seem clear to us. But what should help us to forge ahead is our trust in the word of God, because God's word is true. And he said, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when he was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, for one man and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Sarah depended on God. Abraham, they all depended on God. They received a promise at the age of 75. And Sarah was probably 65 years old. But yet, they believed God. The promise came after 25 good years. Though we know Abraham was not fully upright, there were so many mistakes in their life. Even Sarah recommended Hagar to Abraham. But yet, because they depended on God, the promise of God came to pass. You know, when it comes about faith, when it comes about our commendation from God, it's not so much of our perfection. Yeah, God requires that from us. But I realize that the people that walk with God, some of them have so many character flaws, but then they were commended of their faith. And that's why the writer said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. They had a responsive obedience, persistent trust, and they depended on God. And the writer continued. Now he gets more clearer to the faith of Abraham. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were sure of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. These men, they saw themselves as people who were passing through the earth. And that is the same view God wants us to have in our walk with him. He said, for those who say such things, they declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared a city for them. You see, through the eyes of faith, they were able to fix their eyes on God's promise, future promise of heaven. You see, what gives us contentment in this life is when we fix our eyes on the things that do not perish, on heaven. You see, these men, if they have fixed their eyes on the things that were seen, they would have gone back. Many of the things would have sent them back to their country. I don't know why you came to China. Maybe you came here as a student, maybe you came as a worker. Maybe something else brought you here. And sometimes because of challenges, sometimes we feel like going back. But you see, these men, they saw so many things. But you see, they fixed their eyes on heaven. They fixed their eyes on the heavenly promise. Though they did not obtain it, But they saw it afar, because faith need not to see. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. You see, sometimes we fix our eyes on so many things. Sometimes it's our job, sometimes our family, sometimes it's our money in a bank account. But you see, all things are passing. Nothing is abiding except God and his promises. You see, the way these men live, they live a life loosely of all things. You see, everything, they live it loosely. And that's why we receive contentment in this world. We must live all our life loosely. And he continued and says, and the writer continues, and I said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received in figurative sense. He said, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. He said, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. You see, when God called Abraham, he told him to go and sacrifice Isaac. God did not explain himself to him. In fact, God is not under any obligation to explain himself or his acts to anyone. If he chooses to explain to us, it is because of his love. God never explained himself. That is what, so kingdom faith says that, God, I do not understand why things are happening, but yet I trust in your understanding. Kingdom faith did not rely on our own understanding. If God understands, it's enough. Maybe you may be wondering, yeah, Pastor Gabe served the Lord with all his heart and he died out of heart cancer. He was not healed. But you see, sometimes we have so many questions. Kingdom faith trusts in the understanding of God. If God understands, that is enough. You may not understand everything that God may do, but one of the things that gives us restfulness is that God understands. There are many things we will not understand, but God has understanding, and that should be enough. He said, Abraham held on to the truth of God's word, even when it meant to risk everything. He had to risk every single thing, even including the promise. See, who was Isaac? So one of the things we see on this man is that their walk of faith with God endure producing works even in death. So even in death, all this man produces a work of faith. My time is almost up, and maybe I'll conclude on Moses. So yes, most of the things they long for never came to pass, but yes, still they saw them from afar. And they said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was sitting 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. A convicted, courageous are the parents that preserve God's purpose. They were bold. They saw something unique about Moses, and that preserved his life. But you see, by faith, we see that Moses weighed the suffering of Christ and the pleasure of the world. He looked at being prince in Egypt was a great honor. But he looked at that and looked at being with the people of God. He weighed them, he placed it on a balance scale. Then he chose God. He chose to suffer for God in spite of the opportunity to gain pleasure. You see, all believers suffering, they must find its meaning in the ultimate glory of God. You see, whatever suffering may be, whether in sickness or whatever it will be, the way we find its meaning is in the ultimate glory of God. Whatever God permits to happen to believers, the end goal is that God becomes glorified. John Piper said that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. But you see, when all things are going well for you, when you have a wonderful family, well, you have a very good job, yes, God, you can be satisfied in God and God can be glorified. But you see, but when you are suffering, when you die out of suffering, I said, when you die through persecution, when we suffer for Christ, in that one, God is the most glorified. If through suffering, one can still find satisfaction in God, that is the greatest glory that can ever come, be revealed through a man before the Lord. And when you go to the book of Hebrews, we find so many people. Some of them, God resurrected them. Some of them, they died. Some of them, Isaiah, they were sawn in pieces. And I just want to read from that, and as I conclude, so, and he said, others were tortured. Okay? And he said, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. He says, still, others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, like Isaiah. They were tempted. Some were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. But yet he said, all this, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You see, some even refuse, to be delivered because they long for a better resurrection. Because they saw that God is also most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. But more so when we can be satisfied in God, even in a time of suffering. As I said, if any man can go through suffering, like these people, and can still be satisfied in God, God is most glorified in that person than any other. So that's why we see that in Christ, every suffering can be viewed with the ultimate glory of God. If we are suffered, if we are going through all persecution, everything, the end goal is that God receive the glory. And that is the greatest perspective that we can approach even in time of suffering. So even as I conclude my message, he says that so God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The gospel is the end of perfection of the Old Testament. They looked to the promised Christ and his ultimate sacrifice. And by faith they saw it, they embraced it from afar. And that is faith. So in conclusion, people who walk with God in the old were commended not of the perfection of their character, but by their result of faith in God. They chose faith in God when all around them pointed to otherwise. Hence, commended of their holy obedience, remarkable service, and patient suffering, which made them change the course of history. And today we are equally challenged to make history with God. We who are in the gospel age are privileged with the promise they hope for. And we are challenged by the exemplary life to walk in a more pleasing life with God until the ultimate promise of heaven. And he said, God invited a person to embrace and pursue a specific way. That's what we see from them. When the surrounding circumstances present them with a reason to choose contrary, they have every reason to choose contrary. Nevertheless, they chose God and his word over their untoward circumstances. And they shape history with enduring influence. And this opportunity is also with us. Can God count on you even when it comes about persecution, when it comes about taking a step of faith? God is most glorified in us when you are most satisfied in him. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word and the word that has come to us. We pray that may you see your word and fulfill your word in us. Father, I pray for anybody who may be going through so many tough situations. And I pray for anyone who has to make a decision, a very tough decision. I pray that, Lord, let us see the hope of heaven. Let us see all things with the eyes of faith. That even when the physical evidence are pointing otherwise, help us in the eyes of faith to see the bigger picture. And because of that, help us to choose you no matter what circumstance we find ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. SICF, we are dismissed. May you have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.